Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Schlossberg, editor of the Biomass Monitor, the nation's leading publication covering the health and environmental impacts of biomass energy. You can subscribe to free monthly issues at thebiomassmonitor.org, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. And thanks for making it on this month's Biomass Monitor conference call, where we focus on a topic relevant to the health, environmental, and economic impacts of biomass energy, invite guest speakers, and discuss the issue. June's call topic is honoring the environmental movement's fallen heroes, and this month we'll take a break from our expert guest speaker model to memorialize those in our lives, be they organizers, activists, or protesters who work for the cause that underlies all causes, the natural world we depend on for survival. We are recording this call so we can pass the audio around. Be mindful of that. Go ahead, John, and say what you've got to say, please.
Yeah, well, I wanted to follow up on Bonnie Phillips, though I thought that the article that you did, the In Memoriam, was excellent, really captured her. She was, I was lucky enough to work with her at a couple different junctures, and she was just one of those admirable people that was not only always focused on what she needed to do, but was just resolute, relentless, and also very honest, but she had a knack of being honest without being divisive, which is something I wish I had mastered, or might even master in the future. And she also had what it took in that she was not a sprinter. She was definitely a marathon runner, which is what improving things takes, and was always also pretty quick. She'd worked on the spotted owl and the loss of old growth many decades ago, as they moved away from that model, the Forest Service and other folks, and started towards the calling logging restoration. She was one of the first people that I knew to see through that for what it was. And she was also one of the first people I knew to move towards biomass opposition. So, you know, even late in her time working on this stuff, she still kept changing and still focusing on what needed to be focused on. I was just glad I had the chance to meet her and work with her. And I think there's a lot that a lot of people can learn from her life and her way about of going about things. And that's
great.
It.
Well, thanks, John. You just want to say who you are for the record?
Yeah, I'm a conservation hydrologist, and I've been working west-wide for about 30 years, and I only work on conservation issues on public and private lands.
Where?
West-wide.
So west of the Rockies?
West of the Rockies, and I've worked east of the Rockies, but west
okay.
of the Mississippi so far.
Okay. Great.
Worked over a lot of the West.
Well, really appreciate your remembrances. She'll definitely be missed. Mike, do you want to go ahead and say talk a little bit about Marvin? And Mike, just announce who you are a little bit in advance.
Sure. I actually want to speak about Marvin and someone else as well.
Sure.
But for those who don't know me, I'm Mike Ewall. I'm the founder and director of Energy Justice Network. From Philadelphia area and live in D.C. now, doing grassroots stuff even in D.C., not national, although I was protesting with TPP this morning, so that's national policy, rarely working on that. So one of the things that we've been working on in Pennsylvania is in a local community in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's a place where a company's been threatening to build a trash and sewage incinerator in the heart of the Hispanic community in the state's third largest city. And we've stopped that project. We still have some ongoing battles with it. But one of the earlier people involved was Marvin Wheeler. And when we first tried to get folks involved, and there were some rocky efforts to start things up, but the first thing that really created some momentum was a little public town hall kind of talk that I did, a presentation in a church basement that some folks who were involved with Occupy actually did a lot of the outreach for. They printed up about 500 flyers and circulated them, and Marvin saw one of those flyers and came out. And Unfortunately, in a lot of our work, even if things are in communities of color or mixed communities racially, it tends to be white folks who turn out and do most of the work on these issues, especially if you don't have a good diverse base to do outreach from at the beginning. So what was interesting is that Marvin, I think, was the only black person in attendance at the meeting, one of the only people of color at the meeting, if not the only. And so for that reason alone, his presence there stood out a bit. And throughout the presentation, he chimed in, and when we were talking about dioxins and other things, he just chimed in and already knew stuff about it. He was talking about dioxins in Vietnam and just raising serious concerns about the health issues and asthma in the community. And it turned out that he is a retired school nurse and has a physician type of background or nursing background for many years and has been active in his civic association in the community. And so his interest was really heavy there. And so he was one of the first ones that when we started collecting signatures to get the 3,500 that we needed to get an initiative on the ballot for a clean air ordinance, he was out there in snowy weather and really cold weather with me and Tracy and Alex sometimes, knocking on doors and going into public housing areas and senior towers and introducing us to people and really getting out there when it was not the best weather to have to do that in, but it was the only time frame we could do it in. So there are times that we were huddled in his house with hot chocolate, and it's just he's a very personable guy. And it was sad that a few months ago we lost him. And I wish that he was more aware of already unfolding, because he contributed to an effort that ultimately caused the company to lose their 35-year waste contract and then their air permit, and then more recently, since Marvin's passed, the waste permit. So they're basically as kaput as they can be. And protecting residents from the increased risk of asthma and such is something that he really deserves a lot of credit for. Another person I want to quickly mention has had a much bigger impact on me, so I've known her for many years. Her name is Judy Johnsrud, or Dr. Judith Johnsrud. She has been fighting nuclear issues for probably at least 40 years and died within the past year. I met her when I was still an undergrad, and we were fighting a multi-state nuclear waste dump, and she was heading a statewide coalition against it. And having gone to Penn State University, and she lived in the town where I was from and fought to get her doctorate from there, it's a very pro-nuclear institution that was promoting the nuclear waste dump. And when she heard that I was from that school, she assumed I was probably a nuclear engineering student going there to spy on her. And she figured me out quickly enough, though, and we worked together and beat that multi-state nuclear waste dump proposal. But people, like, she's one of those unsung heroes that people will never even necessarily know the history, that they wanted to blow up nuclear bombs underground in central Pennsylvania with a Project Plowshare, they called it, in order to build natural gas storage cavities underground. She was the one, the leader who got that stopped. They also wanted to build energy parks on the New York border with 10 coal plants and 10 nuclear plants each, and the waste disposal for each on the same sites, and she led the fight that stopped that. She actually came within one vote of getting the Three Mile Island nuclear reactor that melted down not to restart before the meltdown, and they were that close to preventing a meltdown because of that, and she's always felt guilty about that. So there's just so much that she's done, including starting national anti-nuclear groups like the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, that I just have been mentored by her for many years, and she's just one of those incredible people that unfortunately will not be known by many, but we owe her so much. So I just wanted to point that out.
Great. Well, thanks for those remembrances, Mike. And Marvin Wheeler, as well as Bonnie Phillips and Martin Litton, are all featured in the June issue of the Biomass Monitor. Craig, did you want to go ahead and talk about some people?
Sure. I'd like to talk about two people.
Say who you are really quick, Craig, so we know.
I've been a forestry activist for about 37 years. Up the McKinsey, but also nationally, gave a paper in D.C. in 2005 for the National Roundtable. and have been advocating selective harvesting, local processing, and product forest management as my focus. So Nancy Cosper was a woman who lived in McKinsey Bridge, where I live, and lived in a school bus, raised two kids in a school bus with her husband, Skip. And she got to be active in herbicides back in the mid-70s when the bitter fog and the spraying that was happening in the LC and different places, and up here too. And she got in very much involved in that, and in the very early days, unfortunately, she died of breast cancer in March 15th of 1984, way too young, and very much missed. But she, one of the things that she did was publish a paper called the McKinsey Enterprise in the 70s, along with Michelle Zawadzki, Angela Jordan, and Sheila Showalter. And one of the things that she said in the 78 issue was, "Is it possible to separate ourselves in thought and thereby in reality from what is about us? The quality of the air, the soil, the water, the habitat, and wildlife is of such importance to our own existence that we must heed those lessons now being imparted to us through the wasting of the earth as natural resources are depleted and life given less and less regard." Wow. And she was truly a visionary of her time. The other person is Ed Wimple, who passed in 85, 1 year later. And he was one of the founders of the HODADS, which was probably the most successful forestry cooperative ever, founded in Eugene. And Ed was also, he got involved in politics. He was involved in RCDC, or RC&D, Resource Conservation and Development. He was one of the founders of EPUD, Emerald People's Utility District. He ran for county commissioner. He was a giant of a man. He was 6'4". He had hands as big as a bear. But he was one of the most thoughtful and intelligent men that you would ever meet. And one of the things, you know, at his service, they put a little poem together. And unfortunately, I can't quite read the top line because it's been faded. I think it says, "If truth were trees, he was a planter. If deeds words, he was a poet. If vision sight, he saw. If life fire, he burns. If love a river, he flows through us all, through us all." And they were both dear friends. And I miss them both.
Well, that's a beautiful poem. And thanks for sharing that, Craig.
It's emotional to me. I can't help it.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
But they were both giants in their own time. Mm-hmm. And I had the fortune to work along with them in different capacities over the years.
Well, thanks again for saying what that about these folks. Yeah, I hadn't heard of them myself, and I'm glad to know about them now. And yeah, unfortunately, I think that happens a lot. And even folks who are still living, generational gaps oftentimes separate people. And somebody myself who knows older folks. You know, I'm 36, so I know some older folks and, you know, middle age and above, and I know some of the younger folks. And, yeah, sometimes the younger folks just aren't aware of anyone outside of their age group, which is, frankly, tragic and just not strategic in regard to movement building. But so hopefully stuff like this can keep people's memories alive. And Samantha, do you have anything you want to say about anyone?
Yes.
Great.
Just say who you are. I feel I'm very grateful that I'm not commemorating someone whose life I helped save about a year ago, a little over a year ago, who's Roy Keane. And that's because he stayed alive and actually has helped me start a working group for a timber harvest tax since then, and is still working on doing the work and inspiring others. And I know that Roy actually had met Martin Linton, and what he said to me about him was that Linton was the only person who was willing to, like, step aside from, the large environmental groups and really support what Roy and his forestry crew were doing, which at the time was calling out compromises and really, you know, taking an analytical look and holding agencies' feet to the fire. But I just also want to mention, although there aren't that many people on this call, that I was really fortunate to be able to help save someone's life. I say help because really it's just about keeping oxygen to the brain until the paramedics get there. I mean, if Roy and I had still been out in the woods the way we were earlier that day, there's really nothing I could have done, probably. But here in town, you can keep someone's brain alive by keeping the blood pumping. So CPR certification and first aid is really easy to get. And if you go to heart.org, you can send your zip code and find a place near you that can train. And I was just lucky that my mom had always trained people in CPR my whole life. But anyway, you never know.
Thanks for that, Samantha. That's a great point. I mean, we're lucky that you were there, so we didn't have to be commemorating Roy on this call. He can keep kicking ass in the living world for many more years. But that does bring up a good point. Yeah, people should get their certification. I was certified wilderness first responder, and so that way we can keep people we know alive. So that's definitely a tip. Does anyone have anything else to say before we conclude the call? Great.
Thanks.
Well, I really appreciate. Go ahead.
I was saying just because saying thanks for doing this.
Oh, sure. Of course. Well, I
yeah.
really appreciate y'all making it on, and yeah, thanks to everyone for being here. And just a little effort to honor the memory of those who dedicated their lives to the protection of the ecosystems that give us all life, and we're going to be, again, we do these call topics every month. The July topic is on zero waste, and you can get a notice of future calls for the recording for this one at thebiomassmonitor.org, or you can email me, Josh Schlossberg, at thebiomassmonitor@gmail.com. And so thanks again, everyone, and take care.
Take care.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.